Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Power and polarization, disinformation against the vulnerable. A podcast by Sigma European Think Tank. Sigma is an open think tank and next-generation leadership platform based in Brussels, specializing in international affairs and foreign policy. We harness collective intelligence to generate inclusive and action-oriented analysis and recommendations to inform and open up policymaking processes. I'm Cristiana Badulescu, Head of Research and Policy, and your co-host today.
And I'm Katerina Kramer, Head of Communications, and your other co-host.
This podcast looks at disinformation that polarizes societies and targets vulnerable groups. We will discuss what is disinformation, how targets are selected and for what reasons, how disinformation is used to discourage a constructive debate, and the potential it has to topple peacebuilding efforts. Welcome to the Sigma European Think Tank. Today we are pleased to have with us three excellent guests who work in the field of disinformation, misinformation, and information manipulation. Chris Kremidas-Courtney, Senior Fellow at Friends of Europe and also Senior Advisor with Sigma European Think Tank. Luisa Bunescu, Higher Education Initiative Program Coordinator at the European Institute of Innovation and Technology, and also a non-resident contributor with Sigma, and Maximilian Rau, Project and Stakeholder Manager at the Swiss think tank Voraus, and also a long-time board member of the Open Think Tank Network, and from September onwards, a volunteer with the Open Think Tank Network. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, and thank you also from my side again. And yeah, let's dive right in. So I would like to ask you, how would you describe the phenomenon of disinformation and how do you think it is perceived in the public sphere?
Misinformation is really about incorrect information spread innocently in the sense that the person creating it or sharing it believes it to be true. Disinformation, on the other hand, is really about deliberately circulating false information with the purpose of misleading and manipulating.
So I would define disinformation as fraudulent content or propaganda, which is intentionally spread in societies and via various channels in order to sway public opinion on a specific topic. I think it's a good thing that more and more people seem to be aware. Also, disinformation campaigns exist, but this is also then, of course, connected to one of the main problems, because as everyone thinks that they are aware of disinformation, they also think that by this they can also spot fake news and other disinformation campaigns when they then encounter it themselves. But I am convinced that most of us will outright miss it.
Disinformation, the intentional falsification of information to manipulate an audience, be it the public, be it a segment of the public, has been around for eons. In fact, it goes back to ancient Greece, some of the campaigns of Alexander against Athens. You know, Athens lost its democracy due to, in large part, disinformation in the city and people not understanding what the threat was from the outside. You have 2400 BC, Sun Tzu, the Chinese military strategist, talking about all warfare is based on deception, and of course, a number of examples in ancient China. So it's been with us for some time. The reason we're so interested in it now and talking about it now is that the entire landscape has changed. So we're living through a transition of society from in-person to digital interactions. We have a new attention economy that's developed by private sector, and it's being used by malign actors to influence the population. We've seen elections influenced, societies divided. We've seen citizens radicalized. And we've seen governments and institutions are slow to respond. So at the same time, we're experiencing globally increased levels of anxiety and depression, which a number of studies have shown make people more susceptible to disinformation and information manipulation. So we're living at a time when people are aware of it. So I think that a lot of awareness of what's happening with disinformation and the fact that we're living with it. But I agree with Max, and that is that everyone thinks they can spot disinformation and everyone thinks they're clever enough to spot it. But having studied this for a number of years, everyone can be fooled. All of us can be susceptible to disinformation.
We have fast fashion and fast food. Do we also have fast news now? Has the speed of news consumption changed, giving way to increased disinformation distribution?
I think it's beyond news. Okay, so this is one of the other big changes we're living through is that, you know, newspapers and the radio and the journalists don't have the monopoly on information anymore. We're living through an age when every person can be a blogger, when every person can be a sort of journalist, so to speak, reporting news, putting things on social media. So I think it is the entire information environment is so different now. Also, it is a manipulated environment. Even if there are no malign state actors, there are commercial actors who are trying to, they make more money if there's more outrage. They're going to do better if there's more engagement. So a lot of these social media applications are designed to be addictive. They want to keep your attention as long as possible. They're designed to gamify you into making binary choices so that they can gather more micro-targeting information about you. But what happens in the process is we're constantly being asked to choose sides and to choose sides on things that don't even matter to us or didn't matter to us yesterday. But we're sort of being conditioned to always choose yes, no, red, green, whatever between these binary choices. And so we are in this environment being rushed into decisions about information. Even if you're the most well-trained critical thinker, when you're constantly feeling pressure to make a decision about information, we're going to get it wrong. And this is why a lot of the solutions are not just education and whatnot, but people slowing down so they know how to process the information.
I agree with Chris. I think it is, and myself, I'm not a psychologist, but my guess is that everything is exaggerated to become more commercial, to become more sellable, to really get closer to our emotions. From disinformation, fake news, from true news, people are becoming more and more aware that disinformation is here. If you check the latest Eurobarometer data, you would see that 80% of Europeans think that the existence of fake news is a problem in their country. And this very awareness, to me, is an encouraging and positive element in the conversation that we're having today.
Louisa mentioned the word emotion before. Would you say that emotion fuels disinformation, or has it turned it into a kind of fake emotion, so pretending that we care about everything that's going on in the world?
I'm so glad you asked this question. I think first we need to understand that none of us exercise pure critical thinking. Mostly what research shows is that we engage in what is called motivated reasoning. And this is where human reason and emotions are inseparable. And how we feel about something moves through our brain faster than how we think about something. So emotions are always arriving before our thoughts are. And emotions often beats logic. And this is why disinformation actors specifically target our emotions. Just responding with facts so seldom works.
In order to showcase how disinformation is perceived by non-experts on the topic, we have asked some people outside the political sphere for their view and how they perceive disinformation.
I think disinformation refers to false or misleading information deliberately spread with the intention to deceive or manipulate other people. It creates confusion, sow discord, and can promote a particular agenda. I think this information can be spread through many methods like social media, newspaper, or word of mouth, and think also that can have significant social, political, and economic consequences.
At a high level, disinformation is the spreading of false information voluntarily. Those who spread disinformation have reasons and goals behind them. Either they want to hide something to gain advantages or want to manipulate.
Information information that has false elements in it that are usually have some sort of agenda behind it.
I think it's a modern weapon, that there are so many media sources we can follow up, and it's super easy to misinform ourselves by certain sources. Yeah, I think it's well known now.
This information is standing for kind of like manipulated information you get from governmental or any kind of like organizations that want to make your opinions moved in their favor.
And what are your initial reactions to the definitions offered by these interviews? And do you think they mirror what you have said?
So what I liked was that the participants of the interviews all stressed that disinformation is always used to spread a specific agenda or a viewpoint. This gives me hope. This notion of wanting to influence the opinion of others by spreading false information is, in my opinion, key to labeling and identifying disinformation. And what I also found remarkable is that one person mentioned disinformation can be done not only by small groups or individual actors, which is what we mostly would see when we look at disinformation in the social media world, but also by governments who want to promote their specific political agenda, which is a point that a lot of people think about or are subconsciously aware, but it gets sometimes forgotten that there's sometimes and more often than not a government actor or a government behind a specific disinformation campaign.
I also appreciated the agenda element, as Maximilian said, because the people are aware of the planning, as you said, Maximilian, behind it. And in fact, they ask themselves the question, what's the agenda behind it? And I think this question is the central question that is raised around the critical thinking discourse when tackling disinformation. So this very question and the fact that people self-reflect around it is very encouraging, because it really points to the critical thinking of people outside a formal construct or a formal structure that invites to self-reflection and critical thinking. They are raising themselves this question, and this is encouraging to me.
Yes, a few points here. I think one, I really like what Max brought up on government actors being disinformation sources. I mean, how many wars in history have been started based on disinformation? I mean, you know, even recently. So I think that's one thing, is that to be aware of, yes, state actors can and often are sources of disinformation. But there's one other thing. I think with the agenda, we like to think we know what the agenda is, and sometimes it's two layers deep. For example, and this is one of the most prevalent influences or effects of disinformation when it comes to elections, and that is apathy, creating apathy. People are so sick and tired of all of the noise they're hearing and seeing that people disengage from democracy. They disengage from the debate. And I think that is probably what concerns me more than any other aim of disinformation, is that it causes, you know, when people are saying, it's all too hard to figure out, why should I bother? I don't even know what to believe anymore. And they sit out an election. Think about when Donald Trump won the election in the United States in 2016. He did not win. The disinformation that supported him made something like 48 million Americans stay home and not vote. A huge number of people just didn't vote. And a lot of the studies show that. So I think we need to be aware it's not just an agenda to do something, but often it's an agenda for people to disengage from the democratic process.
This concludes episode 1 of the podcast series Power and Polarization, Disinformation Against the Vulnerable by Sigma European Think Tank. Stay tuned for the next episode.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.